Alan for Breakfast Catch-Up on Triple M.
A man on the line who is the head of the Southwest Safe Shark Group, Keith. Now, let's talk about sharks for a second, mate.
Just a growing shark, great white population across our, especially across the Southwest here, causing problems for us, attacks and we're really concerned there could be a fatal attack shortly.
Now, I understand you're putting together a march on Parliament next Wednesday. I guess where, when, and what are you trying to achieve by this?
Well, the rally's going to be held at the steps of Parliament House. It's at 11 o'clock Wednesday, the 9th of May. There's a few things we want to highlight, but one of the main things we want to do, we're calling for the trial introduction of the New South Wales Smart Drumline program. It's been very successful over there on the northern beaches. If you recall, it was in the news a lot for shark attacks over there. Mm-hmm. The government looked at the problem, introduced the Smart Drumline program, and since then there's been no attacks. For people that don't know what the Smart Drumline is, basically it's a drumline, but it has a sensor. So when the shark is hooked on that, there's a support team goes straight away out to the line, pulls up the shark, puts a GPS tag in it, takes it further out to sea, and it's released. Out of the 236 sharks that were tagged, only one didn't survive the release. And incidentally, 215 of that 236 were great whites.
Wow.
And since then, there's been no attacks, and the New South Wales government and researchers, Fisheries Department, are getting fantastic research. So sharks tagged, and they came back sometimes later, but they generally kept away from the coast and stayed away from the coast a lot longer. So it created behavioural change. But the important thing here is that there is no attacks after the program was introduced. Fantastic data.
No, it sounds pretty good. It does sound expensive, but...
Well, look, I think we looked at as, what, 3 million or something like 3, 4 million on our thing. Mm. What's that? I think the Margaret River Pro alone, the loss of that, is 5 million. Now, it's a lot of people don't realise, I think, you know, how much this is hurting tourism worldwide. Every time we have an attack, and especially a fatal attack, the ripples of it goes to London. I knew some people from CNN calling from New York, what's going on? So it just goes around the world. Our tourism brand is trashed. You know what? The government spent millions and millions and millions on our tourism brand. And the Margaret River Pro was a classic where it's just shut down. Let's look what's happening. The Roto Swim, they had to pull people out of the water. We've got the Ironman, Busselton Ironman, coming around again.
Yep.
They cancelled that last year. If there's a shark sighting, a shark scare, and people are pulled from the water, the risk management team and the events managers of that thing would most probably put a line through the Busselton Ironman event. It's ridiculous it's allowed to continue. It's basically from the fisheries not really keeping an eye on the management of the shark situation in our state right through. So... as a community down here, that's what happened, the frustration of it all.
No, mate, it makes complete sense.
And we started a thing. There's another couple of things that our group want to tackle. One of the things, of course, is notification and signage. After the attacks recently around cobblestones and that, there was a shark scare at South Point. Now, that happened at 4:30. It was officially posted at 5:30 p.m. By the time the COGS got through the next day and the machinations of it all, the shark sign went up at South Point car park to close just that car park at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
on a school holidays. That is putting lives at risk. As a community group, one of the initiatives that we're going to bring up is actually have signage, say, at the bay store, you know, and larger signage. A big complaint for signs up against us, larger signage. So if there's an attack at cobblestones, within 2 minutes, a local person will go up to the main road into the bay and say, put the shark sign up. So the whole area is alerted, and then other local volunteers will go around to the left-handers, cobblestones, South Point, North Point. It's a rapid response by community members to actually get the notice out there, and that in itself will save lives.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for your time today, and good luck with the march happening on Wednesday, mate. We do appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you for the effort.
Shane Hope on the line from the West Australian. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Alan. Coming to you live from Punt Road. I've got a sneaky little eye on the Tigers this morning. Doing a bit of spying for the Dockers ahead of Sunday's game.
Very, very smart. Reporting directly to the team. I like it. I tell you, it's looking like it's going to be another interesting round. Kicking off tonight, we're going to be seeing Geelong taking on the Giants. Geez, I really have no idea how this is going to go.
Yeah, this is a really tough one to pick. Geelong obviously have such a great record down there, and GWS have never won there, but then the Cats getting rolled by Sydney as well. Through a bit of a spanner in the works, they've got a few changes both sides. Deledio and Cameron out for the Giants is pretty massive for them, and they get a couple of less experienced players in with Keefe and Buckley. And then you look at the Cats, they lose Stanley and Parsons are both out, but they've lost Holland Smith to injury as well. Scott Selwood back is a massive in for them in the midfield. Stuart Cremery plays his 100th game after all that time at Essendon, and Zach Smith coming in as well. So some pretty good inclusions for the Cats, which sets them up pretty well. And those two that go out for the Giants, Deledio and Cameron, they're massive losses. So you'd probably slightly lean towards the Cats at home, but it's been one of those funny old seasons, and the Giants have just got so much talent across the board. So if you've still got that coin handy from last week, you can toss it again to pick this one, I reckon.
Nah, don't, mate. I put it all on on all the tips that we've been doing. Let's go on. Hey, what about this one? West Coast taking on Port Adelaide. That game on Saturday. I'm thinking West Coast. Is that a fair safe lean to go?
The Eagles have been really strong at home. Obviously, they were good in the Derby. They probably should have won that by more, I thought, in the end, just with the balance of play. I think 8 points probably flattered Fremantle a little bit. Jetta and Sheed going out with injury, that hurts them. Obviously, they lose a bit of speed with Jetta going out. Mark Hutchings, he's always the guy that comes in and out, isn't he, every week pretty much for the Eagles. He's back, and Jackson Nelson as well. Chad Wingard's a massive loss for the Power with that hamstring injury he suffered last week. But they get Paddy Ryder back, so Ryder v Natanui, that's one of the great matchups that we'll see this weekend. I think you lean towards West Coast at home, but Port are a good side, so don't underestimate them.
Absolutely, mate. All right, so I'm thinking the Eagles. What about Frio taking on Richmond? You're there. Do Richmond look a bit sluggish, hopefully?
Yeah, well, you'd hope so if you're a Fremantle fan. So they're playing a third game in 13 days, so they've had a really light week on the track. Today's their main session. I'm watching it right now, and it's still a pretty light session as far as main sessions go. So I think they're doing everything they can, really, to freshen up the players. Damien Hardwick speaking this morning was pretty confident that they'd be able to back it up. They've been playing really well, particularly in last quarters, Richmond rolling over teams in the final quarter. They've done it really well the last 3 weeks. I think there's something like +5 goals on average in last quarters against Brisbane, Melbourne and Collingwood in recent weeks. So that's a real strength of theirs. They're a fit side. They're obviously riding high on confidence the way they're going. And just looking at Trent Cotchin and the way he's moving with that sore right knee, I think he'll probably be okay to go as well. So Fremantle lose Michael Walters. That'll hurt them. But yeah, you'd think the Tigers will get it done. They play the MCG so well. And they're in great nick. So Tigers for me, I think.
Okay, that's disappointing for our Freo listeners. But you know what? You've given a fair argument.
You know what? It's probably not disappointing for them because my tips have been rubbish. So that probably makes Freo win this week.
All right, there you go. A bit of hope. Hey, Shane, thanks for that, mate. We do appreciate it.
Anytime, Alan.
We've been doing this for the last couple of weeks, getting people to submit their entries to potentially win a renovation to their lounge room. We teamed up with Bay Furniture and Designs Dunsborough. $5,000 to potentially make your lounge look outstanding. And the time has come to finally call our winner. Let's give him a call.
Hello.
Hello, Amy.
Yes.
Do you recognize my voice?
Kind of.
It's not little. God. No, it's Alan calling from Triple M Southwest. How are you?
Good. I kind of got your voice, and I was just like, maybe not.
Well, there's a reason why I'm calling you today.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what that reason would be?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a feeling.
What feeling do you think that is?
The competition I recently entered.
To renovate your room?
Yes.
Let's talk about your couch first.
Yeah, okay.
What's your situation? I've seen a photo of it. Doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's pretty old. You know, second hand, bought a fly and sell. But, you know, two kids have pretty much ruined it as well. So, sagging in the middle, feeling like kind of four people all sliding into the middle of the lounge.
Oh, the Simpsons, it's good.
Not exactly comfortable.
And the lampshade smashed. How did that happen?
That's a result of the littlest one pushed the lamp over and the timber arm smashed and my husband glued it back together. But the shade itself, you can kind of see in the photo that it's cracked. There's a bit of light shining through the space there. So, yeah,
it does.
An interesting look it has going on there.
Yeah, it is a little creative. So that explains the couch. That explains the lamp. What about the faint smell of wee that you've written here on your entry? Do I ask where that's from? Do I want to know? Is it animal? Is it human? Should I be concerned?
No. small children. But, I'll leave that to your imagination.
Thanks for that. Hey, the reason why I am calling is to let you know that we've gone through tons and tons of applications.
Yep.
And I'm happy to tell you that you have won the massive, massive amount, $5,000 to spend.
Amazing! You would not believe how excited and thrilled this has totally made my year. It is brilliant.
No, that's good to hear. Well, Bay Furniture and Designs Dunsborough is going to be decking out your lounge. No more wee smell, no more cracked lamp, and no more saggy couch.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. Honestly, I have got a smile from ear to ear. Made my year, totally. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thank you so much for listening to Triple M and entering online. We appreciate it, and congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
A local author hailing out of Dunsborough, I've got Tim Hawken. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan. How are you, mate?
Mate, I am doing very well. Brand new book, If Kisses Cured Cancer. Tell me all about it.
So it's really exciting. It came out this week. The book is set on the coast in a small fictional coastal town and a love story where a guy meets girl and unfortunately girl has cancer. And so a bit of trials and tribulations, but also a bit of a laugh in there as well, inspired by my wife has been going through a battle with cancer for a while. So something that inspired that, and I was able to draw on some real world experience to put something of fictional kind of value together.
Is that really hard to write when you go as personal as that?
Yeah, it is. It's funny. It's partly cathartic and therapeutic to do it, but definitely drawing on some of those emotions and trying to translate that into reality on a page, you remember those times where you first found out or just those tough times you went through. And so, yeah, it can be difficult at times, but it's also pretty rewarding and therapeutic too.
Was there certain parts when you're writing the book where you just need to step away from it? Because I can imagine you're dealing that with in your real life, then you're dealing with it in your work life as well. There could be a bit much.
Yeah, for sure. There's particularly some of the hospital scenes, I think. But they're the ones that they're not nice places, hospitals, and the staff in there do their best to make them great, but no one really wants to be there. And so, yeah, just reliving those kind of moments in those kind of sterile halls where all this heavy stuff is happening to you, that they're the moments that you kind of step away and take a breath and go, okay, I'll dive back into this in an hour after a cup of tea and a biscuit and get my blood sugar back up.
Mm, absolutely. Now, the book, obviously, very, very sensitive theme, but you're using the power of this book to do a bit of a fundraiser as well.
We are. I've decided to do a bit of a tour of launches around Australia, and the first one's going to be in Dunsborough. We're going to be raising money for Love Your Sister, which not only raise a lot of really great funds for cancer research, but have built a wonderful community around supporting people going through cancer treatment. So first one's on May 11th at the Dunsborough Tavern, and all kind of book, beer and raffle sales will be going to support Love Your Sister.
That's awesome. So Dunsborough Tavern, May 11th. People just need to rock up, or is there tickets to buy? How's that work?
Just turn up. Entry's free. It's all about just grabbing some books and some drinks and some raffle tickets, and it'll be in the back bar, which is the Three Bears Bar, from 7 o'clock onwards.
Excellent, mate. Well, thanks for the chat today, and good luck with the book, mate. Hopefully a lot of people buy it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the time, guys.
A jerk on one end of a line, waiting for a jerk on the other end. What's biting in the Southwest on Triple M?
Well, isn't that the question, Holly? What is biting in the Southwest, mate?
Oh, yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing pretty good, mate.
that intro is just awesome. So. last week, I forgot to mention, too, on the Anzac Day when Maxine and I were out, I hooked up something, just grabbed my line, just took off. I was like, yeah, cool, groper. The next thing, the line just went slack, which normally that means the fish is coming straight up, which normally that means a shark, like a mako or something, they'll just hit you and then come straight up.
Mm.
The next thing, I'm just whining, and the next thing, I'm on again. But the next thing, this wannabe marlin salmon come launching out of the water, you know, just tail slaps and, yeah, just awesome. But I don't know how these guys off the beach with 5-pound line can stop these things. Like, you know, it's probably 600 mil long. It's just a big muscle. It's just, like, I had 80-pound braid fully locked and this thing was, like, taking line off me, you know, like... These guys must lose a lot of line out there, I reckon. So.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
But great fun. Just adrenaline rush, you know. It was really awesome. But my mate Scotto's still putting in at Old Dunsborough, trawling around with his missus and kids and getting salmon guys. The main hotspot for them, I think, is still around the corner. But like I said, there's still a few in the bay, but we were out in like 45 metres of water and they were on the bottom. We were catching them, you know. So
wow.
Crazy. I sent you a couple of photos of some mulloway. And snapper.
Yeah, we're just looking at those. Huge.
Absolutely massive, this mulloway.
Yeah, huge. And that was last Friday, my mate went out, and we're only talking about it that morning on the Friday, and he said he went out that night, and he got that nice mulloway, nice pinky, and with this blow on the weekend, guys, I reckon there'll be a lot more mulloway around too, and they're tasty. Just got to do the right thing, you know, gill and gut them, bleed them. Like with any fish, I think that's the best thing for them.
He must have been listening to your advice, mate. He must listen to your tips, I reckon.
Yeah, awesome. But he's going from like Eagle Bay guys right through to Bunbury. You see, you just got to, you know, pick your little alleys and your channels and even down those drains where all the stuff comes down from land out to the sea. All the fish are in, like, you know, gathering your stuff out of there. The King George's, my mate Max, is still going early. He's still going early before work and getting his King George's, guys. And even actually got a few squid with that new moon going through. The crabs are still patchy. I was going to go out this weekend, but I think it's going to be the deadliest catch on Sunday, I think. So
yeah.
I might leave that to the professionals. And, so tight lines, guys.
Rebecca Young, who is the Executive Officer for the Margaret River Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
What an exciting time of year for you, getting to find out which businesses people are loving, which businesses need to get some awards. Very exciting stuff.
It is. It's a very exciting time for us as a chamber. We've been doing this for 11 years now, and, I think every year it just gets better. There's so many new businesses. There's such a vibrant business community out there, so it's a really exciting time for everyone.
Absolutely. The 2018 Telstra Margaret River Regional Business Awards. Are nominations now open?
They are. They opened on the 26th of April and they'll be open until the 28th of June. They're open to all businesses in the region. So anyone that's looking to recognise their business, to showcase their achievements, to come together with their industry peers and celebrate our region, we encourage them to enter.
And we've got some great prizes up for grabs this year.
We have a fantastic prize pool this year, which we're hugely excited about. The biggest prize from you fantastic people is a Triple M advertising package, and that's worth over $10,000, which
$10,000 is really incredible. Bucks. Pretty sure you get me in that prize as well. You just get to keep me for a week or something.
I hope so. But it does include a lot of advertising, and it also includes your street patrol visiting one of the businesses, which would just be such a fantastic promotion for anyone to have the patrol there and the live crossings.
Absolutely. Fantastic. It's very important that people nominate themselves. I know some people get weird about that. They go, I don't want to give myself the credit, and they kind of want to hold back. But it's very important because if you don't shine a light in your own business, no one will.
Well, that's right. And you know your business better than anyone. You know where you've come from, where you're headed. It's really important that businesses, you know, complete the submission form. And it's, you know, obviously the prize and the recognition is a huge part about it, but we also do this to give businesses the opportunity to actually delve into their business and look at what they've been doing and look at what they've achieved. And often they end up with a submission that they feel really proud of and they realise that they're achieving a lot more than they perhaps realise because they're so busy in the business and not standing back and looking at the business.
Yeah, it's not very often you get to stop and actually reflect. And I understand that you guys are helping people actually write their submissions with some workshops.
Yes, we are. So we're offering two free workshops this year. They're held at South Regional TAFE in Margaret River. They're free with one of their business lecturers, Charlotte Brown, and it just takes you through all the questions and how to, you know, create an award-winning submission. And we really encourage people, if they haven't done the workshop, to come along. It really elevates the quality of the submission. And it's a great way for people to feel confident about what they're doing.
Absolutely. The first one is on Tuesday, the 8th of May, and the second one is on Friday, the 11th of May. You've got them at different times there, one in the evening, one in the day, to make it easier for everyone. People want to get in contact. The best way to do that is awards@mrcci.com.au. That's awards@mrcci.com.au. Thank you for the chat today, and hopefully you get a ton of applications and submissions.
Thank you, Alan. It was great to chat. And, yeah, if anyone has any queries, if they're interested, to please contact the website or the email address.
Absolutely. What was that website again?
That is at www.mrcci.com.au.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
A royal wedding update.
Well, I have on the line Jeremy Butterworth, our foreign correspondent. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, royal wedding, the countdown continues.
We are 15 days away from the royal wedding. Alan, today it's finally time to address the elephant in the room.
Oh, no. What are we talking about, mate?
Meghan's family. Oh, God, Alan, I know I only have a couple of minutes, but it's time to get really into this.
Yeah, we have heard about it. All right, let's get into it then. Let's get into Meghan's family.
A few months back, it was alleged, firstly, that Meghan's family were not invited to the royal occasion, and they felt pretty butthurt over the whole thing.
Yeah, I can imagine why they'd be feeling that.
Well, you see, Alan, they feel that Meghan has now reached such a high level of superstardom that she has forgotten her roots. I suspect she hasn't forgotten anything and has purposely chosen to ignore them. The same way, Alan, you only play our segment now instead of prime time at 8 a.m.
Oh, that's nothing personal, mate. I've got a very busy day today, okay? I'm trying to,
No, shut up, Alan. I'm trying to finish this report here. Now, yesterday, media is reporting that Thomas, Meghan's half-brother, has written a letter insisting that the wedding does not go ahead.
Yeah, I read the letter. Yeah, I don't know. What's the word for it? I don't know.
What an absolute numbskull. That's the word.
That's it.
In the letter, he accuses her of being fake, owing money to her dad, and lying to old Harry.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up with numbskull, Butterworth. Yep.
What a tool, Alan. This guy should call a wambulance, am I right? Allow me to play him the world's smallest violin.
Yes, Jeremy. Yep, I'll let you continue to play, mate.
I say, Alan, let's treat him the way girls treated you at Blue Light Discos and simply ignore him.
Oh, that's a bit mean. Oh, jeez.
Look, it's just like the famous saying goes. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. 15 days, Alan!
I now have Marion Prynne in the studio with us. Hello, Marion. How are you?
Hello, I'm really good. Thank you.
How's the week been? Nice and busy in the news, unfortunately.
It has. It has been very busy, quite steady.
Yep. Now, let's touch on this one. A bit of an announcement regards Optus Stadium.
Yeah, so Boynup's Lots of Lollies has got a contract with Optus Stadium, which is really great, and they'll be supplying all of their confectionery.
Wow.
And their cakes and muffins and cookies, so people, when they're watching a game or whatever's happening at Optus Stadium, they have their choice of Southwest produce, which is really cool.
That's fantastic. Also focusing on the Southwest, regards to the shark sightings for this chopper, it's been extended.
Yep, so the Surf Lifesaving chopper has received $350,000 to continue patrolling the area until the end of the month, until the 27th, which is a state first as well.
Yeah, that's huge. Obviously, with the salmon season and the whales constantly washing up, you had to kind of do something, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, RAC has revealed the riskiest roads, and there's a few here in the southwest.
Yep, so the RAC kind of have an agenda behind this one. They've released the top 10 riskiest roads and intersections in the state. There's two in the southwest. Forest Highway intersection on Hines Road is partially funded, and Bustle Highway on Capel, the road is not funded at all to be fixed. So they've released that, so the state government is prompted to have a look or relook at these funding and funded and fixed.
No, I like it. Very, very clever, very cheeky the way to do it. But hey, if it gets results, let's
keep doing it.
And we did hear about this tragic news out of Busselton this week.
Yep, so a 14-year-old boy has been charged for allegedly entering the property at West Busselton School and assaulting a 50-year-old man. He appeared in court yesterday afternoon and a bit sad. Apparently, he left alone in a taxi, 14-year-old boy, back home.
Wow.
So, yeah, and he had no shoes on as well. He's fronted court.
Move things on with the events that are coming up this weekend.
Yeah, in lighter news, the Margaret River Region Open Studios is still going on. 130 Southwest artists have opened their doors, so you can go check that out. You can visit their website. And the Busselton Festival of Triathlon is on this weekend. It's a big one. And the Ironman is on Sunday.
It's looking like a bit of weather on the Sunday, so good luck to them. I mean, it's already hard enough. Chuck that on there as well. Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Marion, thanks for that. We appreciate it.
No worries.